I wanted to share with you how impressed I am with him as a young Christian. I say young Christian because chronologically, he's not that old. He's been a Christian about 5 years, I think he'll tell you. But what I'm impressed with is a maturity and a desire to serve God that is far beyond those 5 chronological years. He challenges me as an older, more mature Christian to be ready to preach and teach the word and to have a heart of an evangelist. And in hearing about his conversion as we talked over breakfast, I was impressed with the fact that he came to the truth with an honest and open heart, searching for God's will, searching for God's truth, looking for the church that didn't wear men's names, but the one that wore the name of Christ. And guess what he found? He found the church, the true church. And so he's dedicated himself now to serving God. As a single young man, to preaching and teaching the gospel in every way. I hope you'll come back at 3:30 today to have more of an interaction with him so that you can get to know him a little bit better, like I have been able to in spending a few hours with him. I think you'll find to be as pleased with him as a young Christian man as I am. The other thing I noticed is when I brought him up to the building, we of course came up here to the pulpit and stood, and the first thing he noticed was the plaque on this podium. And I don't know how many of you have seen this plaque, but it's a brass plaque and it says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And I can tell you that he was impressed with that and he believes that, and I believe that's what he's going to show us today. So Carlos, please come up, please deliver the word of God to us, and we do wish to see Jesus.
Well, good morning, brethren. I'd like to first start by thanking Brother Dan for that introduction, as well as thanking you all for the time and the effort that you've put forth in reaching out to me and bringing me out here. I've definitely engaged with some of you. I've definitely experienced a lot of hospitality, of which I'm very grateful for. I had said during the Bible class, a saying that is very popular is, "It's a small world." And what I've come to realize within the Church of Christ is that we simply are part of a large family. So I'd like to thank you and give you my my gratification for treating me as such. It's not a surprise to be treated the way I've been treated amongst brethren. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for to have an opportunity to be up here and to share a portion of God's word with you. And just like this plaque says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." That is my life's goal, is to preach the word of God, to be silenced, and to allow Christ and his words to be heard. So with that, if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 this morning. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. You know, throughout the New Testament, we see these men known as the scribes and the Pharisees. And these are very arrogant men. In fact, this whole chapter is dedicated to the hypocrisy of these scribes and these Pharisees. And these scribes and these Pharisees, they had many problems. One problem they had was the people that they engaged with. Another problem they had was the places they liked to go, the things they liked to do, and the ideas that they had, not only about God, but about his word and about his son, Jesus Christ. So the scribes and the Pharisees literally had, and my sermon this morning is entitled, "A Problem with Nouns." A problem with nouns. Nouns being person, place, things, ideas. So let us read Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12 in its entirety. Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 1, the Bible reads, "Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. I call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whomever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ didn't have many good things to say about the scribes and the Pharisees because of their attitude not only towards God but to his word. The fact that they did not recognize that he was the Christ that was spoken of by Moses, that he was the Christ that was spoken of by the prophets, and that the entire Old Testament speaks the coming of. They failed to recognize that, they failed to appreciate that, and they had many problems with Jesus. They had many problems in their own lives. So there are four nouns that these scribes and Pharisees had problems with that we ourselves may have problems with. The first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 33. There the Bible reads, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Brethren, the first noun that we may have a problem with is the people we associate with. The people we associate with. See, consider who you associate with. Do you associate with people for selfish profit? Do you associate with people to make yourself feel better? Do you associate with people because you know that they will tell you what you want to hear? That was who the scribes and the Pharisees associated with. They associated with each other because they knew that other scribes and other Pharisees would tell them what they want to hear. They associated with these men for selfish profit. Brethren, if we associate with people for selfish profit, then the people we associate with, we have a problem with. We need to change our mentality, we need to change our mind, and we need to not look to associate ourselves with those who are going to profit us because we have a selfish mentality. If we look at verse 5, going back to Matthew chapter 23, at verse 5 it says, "They do all their deeds to be seen by others." Brethren, are we associating with people for selfish profit? Or are we associating with people for selfish praise? Do we associate with people to make ourselves look better? To make ourselves better than we think we are? That was an issue that the scribes and the Pharisees had. They were out amongst the people saying, "Look at me. Praise me. Look at the life that I live for God. I am a scribe. I am a Pharisee. You know this law because of me. I'm the teacher. Me, 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 me." That's what they were all about. They weren't scribes and Pharisees to glorify God. They were scribes and Pharisees to glorify self. And they associated with the people so that they could be praised by these people. They didn't speak to the glory of God. They didn't speak to the benefits of having a relationship with God. They simply spoke to themselves. Let's look at John chapter 12, verse 43. John chapter 12, at verse 43. Let's start in verse 41. There the Bible reads, "Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." These men sought to be glorified by man instead of humbling themselves and thus being glorified by God. So if we associate with these people for selfish profit or for selfish praise, then we have a problem with nouns. Because the only thing that we can do and the only thing that we must do is associate with people for self-preservation. We must associate with people for self-preservation to make ourselves better, but also to make others better. Let us look and consider Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, a very popular verse. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24, the Bible reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Brethren, if we are having a good day on the Lord's day, then our brethren need us so that we can edify them, so that we can build them up. But if we are having a bad day on the Lord's day, then we need our brethren to build us up, to edify us, so that we together can show each other the love that God would have us to show, and that we together can glorify our one and only Lord and Savior. We must associate with people for self-preservation, because in doing so, we keep ourselves alive spiritually. This verse speaks to not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. That means whenever we have an opportunity to come together to study a portion of God's word, to glorify God's, whenever these doors are open, God expects us to be here. All the hours in the day and the year, and we can't sacrifice a few hours on Sunday and a few hours on Wednesday to build one another up and to glorify our Lord and Savior. Brethren, so we need to consider the people that we associate with. But our second noun that we need to consider is found in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, the Bible reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." Brethren, we may have a problem with the people that we associate with, but we may also have a problem with the places we go. Consider Jonah. Jonah was told by God, "Go to Nineveh and preach to this city." Jonah didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew the grace of God. He knew the love of God. And he knew that if he preached to this people whom he didn't like, that God was probably going to end up saving them, that God was probably going to end up forgiving them. So instead of going to Nineveh, he fled to Tarshish. We must not go where our flesh leads us. Where is our flesh going to lead us? Our flesh is going to lead us to places that are ungodly. Our flesh is going to lead us to bars, to clubs, to the restaurant Sunday morning so we can watch the football game instead of glorifying our God. That was an issue that I had when I first obeyed the gospel. When I first became a Christian, I didn't show up every Sunday morning because I said, "Oh, I'm going to go watch football." I mean, God understands how important football is in my life. But as I grew in my Christianity, so did my appreciation for my Lord and Savior and what it is that he did for me. As I grew in my Christianity, I realized that I was in error not being at every service every time. I realized that I was in error putting these things before God. But that's where the flesh leads us. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Brethren, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must follow the Spirit, that we must do spiritual things and not worldly things. We must not engage in the things of the flesh or be led astray by the things of the flesh. Maybe it's not bars, clubs, or restaurants. Maybe our flesh tells us that, oh, I'm just too tired. I'm too tired to go to services. I'm too tired to have this Bible study. I'm too tired to do X, Y, and Z. That's what the flesh tells us if we trust in it or if we allow it to lead us. Maybe we don't have a problem with where the flesh leads us, but where do our friends lead us? Do they lead us away from the church? Do they lead us to do and partake in ungodly activities? And brethren, please do not misunderstand me. I am not saying do not associate with people of the world. But we are to be of God. We are not to be of this world. Because how can the lost be saved if the found don't show them? How can the lost be saved if the found don't show them? When I came to God, it was because I made a friend. And we were hanging out. We would hang out often. And his mother just came to me. As I was looking for the truth, his mother said, how would you like to have a Bible study? I could have easily said, no, I'm good. But God put the people in my life to lead me to his church, his body, the one body that Christ died for, the one body that Christ is the Savior of, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. God led me where I needed to be. Where do our friends lead us? Well, maybe you might be saying, well, I don't engage in these things. I don't engage in you know, going out and partying or going to the drinks or going to the bar, going to the clubs, doing X, Y, and Z Sunday morning, doing X, Y, and Z Sunday night. Well, ask yourself this question. Where are you at when the doors are open? Are you where God wants you to be? Heaven forbid God come on a Wednesday night and find you not glorifying him, not studying his word, not amongst the saints. So, brethren, we must consider the places we go. We must not follow our flesh. We must not follow our friends, but we must follow our Father in heaven. And we must go where he leads us. Look at Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 26 through 30. Acts chapter 8. Verses 26 through 30. And read about our brother Philip. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. The Bible reads, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you are reading? Brethren, when we go where the Father leads us, then we will be exactly where he wants us to be. When we live our lives for the Lord and when we do what thus saith the Lord, he will show us the opportunities to evangelize his word. He will show us the opportunities to grow spiritually and not worldly. He will show us the opportunities that we have to love one another, to come together with one another, to worship our God, and to fulfill what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His response was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's a reason that we need to be led by God. Because according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the sole purpose of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That is what we must do. And that is what we display And that is what we do when we allow the Lord to lead us and when we go the places that he would have us to go. But if we are being led by the flesh or by our friends, then we are nothing better than the Pharisees. We are acting just like the Pharisees. We're acting just like these scribes who desired fleshly, worldly praise rather than praise from God, who allowed their friends to lead them rather than their Father. But as Christians, as followers of Christ, we must only allow our Father to lead us. So maybe we have a problem with the people we associate with. Maybe we have a problem with the places we go. Our third point is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and again in chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. There the Bible reads, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." And I'd like to couple that with Philippians chapter 4 at verse 9, which reads, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Brethren, we need to consider the people we associate with. We need to consider the places we go. But we also need to consider the things that we practice. Here the Apostle Paul tells us to not be like this crooked generation. He tells us to be like children of God. What are the things of the crooked? Well, those are worldly things. Those are things that a criminal engages in. A criminal is someone who does not honor the commandments of God. A criminal is someone who does not glorify God, does not live for Christ. Let that not be us, brethren, because that's exactly what the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were spiritual thieves, because those whom they taught error. Those who followed them were like the blind following the blind, as Jesus says. They did not choose to glorify God, to honor God, by putting God first. You see, we all have a pedestal in our lives. The question is, are we going to put God on that pedestal? And also, are we going to keep him on that pedestal? Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of being on our pedestal. He's the only one worthy of our praise, of our prayers, of everything that we do. We must do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. We must not have him on that pedestal when it's convenient and take him off to put ourselves on it. The scribes and the Pharisees lived to have themselves on that pedestal. They lived crooked in a crooked generation. But the Apostle Paul specifically tells us not to live like this crooked generation, but to live like a child. We must partake in the things of a child. We must do exactly what our parent says the way they say it. That's respecting their authority. That's respecting what it is that they say. Because we have the possibility of engaging in sins of commission as well as sins of omission. To engage in a sin of commission is to do what God has prohibited us from doing. God says, do not steal, do not murder. If we commit those sins, then we have committed a sin of commission. God says, do not lie. If we commit that sin, then we have committed a sin of commission. But there are also sins of omission. God tells us to go out and evangelize. If we fail to go out and evangelize, then we are committing a sin of omission because we fail to do what God has required. And brethren, when we look at this city, there are churches everywhere. I've heard it said in Tucson, where I'm from, there's a church behind every cactus. The same can be said out here. There are churches everywhere. But how many churches did the Lord say he was going to build in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word church is singular, meaning one and only. He did not say, I will build my churches, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. He said, I will build my church, singular, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, singular. If there is only one church and we are members of that church, Shouldn't we feel the obligation to teach truth amongst all these other churches, all these other denominations that are teaching lies? Shouldn't we feel that obligation? Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and all those who believe and are baptized will be saved. We must go out and preach truth because we are amongst the few that know truth. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, the way that leads to destruction is broad and easy, and there are many who go in by it. For the way that leads to life is narrow and difficult, and there are few who find it. In order to find something, what do you have to be doing? Searching for it. You have to be looking for it. We have found that one true church. So we should be doing the things that our Father has told us to do. We should be practicing the things of a child and evangelizing God's word. Going out amongst this lost generation, amongst these lost people, and showing them what thus saith the Lord. You see, before I became a Christian, this book was very difficult for me. Number one, because I didn't take the time to try to read it. And number two, I didn't know what it said. I didn't know how to read it. God's word isn't difficult, but just like the Ethiopian treasurer needed someone to guide him, people in the world need someone to guide them. And as children, as representatives of Christ, we must practice such things. So we must consider the people that we associate with. We must consider the places that we go. We must consider the things that we practice. And my fourth and final point on this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. There the Bible reads, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brother, my fourth and final point on this morning is this. We must consider the perception that we have. We must consider the perception that we have. Do we think through a mind of jealousy? Do we go throughout this world thinking that I'm not going to give up my mind. I'm not going to give God my mind. Brethren, that is the only thing that God wants. God wants our mind and our heart. Because when he has that, he knows that he has someone who's going to be obedient to his word. Do we have that mind of jealousy? Or do we have the mind of Christ as God has instructed us to have? Do we think through the mind of Christ? And do we think, I will give God my mind? Isaiah says that God's ways and God's thoughts are above our ways and our thoughts. But God wants us to have his thoughts. God wants us to have his ways. He wants us to do what a child of his would do. He wants us to speak where the Bible speaks. He wants us to remain silent where the Bible is silent. He wants us to do all that thus saith the Lord. And we do that when we give God our mind. When we say, I trust you, God, to guide my life, to guard me, to direct me to do what you want me to do. We only do that when we have the mind of Christ. When we think like Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 tells us to think. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Do we have that mentality? Because if we do not have that mentality, if we have a mind of jealousy, if we practice the things of the crooked, if we go where our flesh or our friends tell us, if the people we associate with for nothing more than selfish profit or selfish praise, then we are just like the hypocrites. We are just like the scribes and the Pharisees. But if we associate with people for self-preservation, if the places we go where the Father leads us. If the things that we practice are the things of a child and not the things of the crooked. And if the perception we have is the mind of Christ, then we are a faithful and obedient child of God. And we have that home in heaven waiting for us, if we continue to do so. Because just like in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, when Satan left Jesus after tempting him, it says that he waited for an opportune time. And Satan will do the same for us. He will wait for an opportune time. So, brethren, with every problem, there comes the solution. And the solution is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the person. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. That word the is a definite article meaning one and only. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He is the person that we need to have a right relationship with. Heaven is the place. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through who? Through me. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the person. Heaven is the place. Holiness is the practice. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says that we must be holy as he is holy. So we must practice holiness. And the head is the perception. We know that Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 tells us that. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us that just as man is head of the wife, so is the Lord head of the church and is himself its Savior. We must do what the head tells us to do. We must go where the head tells us to go. We must live the way the head tells us to live, and that head is Jesus Christ. So my question to each and every one of us this morning is this. Where do we stand? Where do we stand when it comes to our relationship with God? Where do we go? Who do we associate with? What do we practice? What is the perception that we have? Brethren, if it is not of God, and if we do not do what God tells us to do, if we do not live the way God tells us to live, then we are in error, and we need to make that right. If you're here this morning, and you're a Christian, and you haven't been living the life that God would have you to live, now is your opportunity. You now have this opportunity to come forward and make things right with your God, to repent of your sins, to have your brethren pray on your behalf. You have that opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You have not been buried with Christ in baptism. Well, know as it stands that you are eternally separated from Christ. Your sins have created a separation between you and your God. And in order for you to be reconciled to God is to obey his plan of salvation, which is hearing God's word, which you have done on this morning. Do you believe what you've heard? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to make that confession? Are you willing to confess that Christ is the Son of God and to turn away from your sins? That is to repent. Repent is not just turning away from sins. Repentance is turning to God. Are you willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? And are you willing to rise up to walk in newness of life? You have that opportunity now. God's plan is simple. Man makes it difficult. God has told us exactly what we must do to be in that right relationship with him. So if any of you have need, why don't you come forward while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.